The following message was given by Brothers Timothy Hong and Edward Wrighton in the church in New York City on the Lord's Day, October 1st, 2017. The title of the message is The God Blessing and the Blessing God. Scripture verses are Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 26 and 27.
We cover this past week. That is the message number four of training on the Book of Ezekiel. And the title of the message is The God of Blessing. Amen. And the Blessing of God. Amen. I think we all love blessing. Everyone likes to be blessed. In fact, there was a wedding yesterday, and everybody blessed the bride and the bridegroom. Amen. Praise Lord. Our God is a God of blessing. Amen. So it's truly wonderful. Of course, in the training, we may wonder, you know, the training covering many, quite a few important subjects. Even the brother here on this message mentioned that he never thought that such a title would be covered in the training, in the crystallization study of the book of Ezekiel. But it's here. So when we get into it, we realize this is truly a crystal in the book of Ezekiel. Based on what we cover such a message, the God of blessing and the blessing of God. That is based on the Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 26. I will make them, the children of Israel, and the places around my hill a blessing, which the children of Israel, they dwell there, and I will cause the showers to come down in their season. There will be showers of blessing. So based on these two verses, we have such a title, The God of Blessing and the Blessing of God. We covered in the previous messages, three messages, on chapter 37. You know, I guess we're all very impressed on that chapter, because that chapter was concerning dry bones. You know, so all the children of Israel, in God's eyes, they are dry bones. But suddenly there was a turn. Of course, we cover the dry bones being enlivened to become a great army, and we also cover the two sticks. They were joined together for the building of God's house. Then we cover the practice of prophesying for the building up of the church to be a great army. And we also covered last week concerning knowing Jehovah, knowing that I am Jehovah. Now we cover message four concerning the God of blessing and the blessing of God. In the outline, you mentioned that such a title, the God of blessing and the blessing of God, is because the Lord himself will come as a shepherd to shepherd his people. Then they can become a blessing, you know. In their condition, when the Lord spoke to them, they were in no way blessed by the Lord and can be a blessing to others, because the country was destroyed, the temple was destroyed, and they were carried away. Even Ezekiel, the book, the prophet, is a prophet in captivity. So, but if you read chapter 34, we will see that the Lord came as a shepherd to shepherd them, to recover them, to seek them, search them, seek them, find them, and to bring them back. And he will feed them. He himself will shepherd them, and he will bring them to a green pasture. And eventually, all of them will dwell securely in their land. And then they will become a blessing. So there is such a principle that we all need to experience the blessing then we can become the blessing to others. Amen. So the law is truly a God of blessing. But this matter of blessing doesn't start from the book of Ezekiel. It starts from the very beginning. Amen. That is in the book of Genesis. You know, in Genesis, he mentioned how God created and blessed them. Okay, just to show you how God, as a shepherd, was shepherding the children of Israel, we have a few verses in Ezekiel before 24, 26, and maybe we can read these verses together. 24 verses, verse 11. Sorry, this is not the verse. Okay, let's start from verse 13. 13 is the one. Okay, let's read together. Because 34, sorry, it should be 34. It's not the 24. It was a mistake. Okay, let's read together. For thus says the Lord Jehovah, I myself, even I, will search for my sheep and seek them out. 13. Will shepherd my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, declare the Lord Jehovah. This is, in fact, a kind of prophecy. And in fact, eventually, it was fulfilled. The children of Israel, eventually they returned. And they were, the Lord was shepherding them, and feed them, and they also rebuilt the temple. So we see the sequence. That the Lord was shepherding them, and eventually they become a blessing. Okay, I mentioned that the God of blessing doesn't start with the book Ezekiel. Rather, it started from Genesis. Of course, in Genesis, God created the heavens and the earth, and there were 6 days God was creating things. And let's read Genesis chapter 1, verse 22. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth. So before this verse, God not only created the plants, life, then was the fish of the sea and the birds of heaven. After the fish and the birds came into existence, right away God blessed them. So God is anxious to bless, you know, his created beings. Of course, it's after living creatures came into being. God blessed them. God, of course, he also, maybe we can read Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of heaven, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. You know, this verse, chapter 1, verse 28, is after 26 and 27. And 26, we all know that verse. Maybe we can read it together. And God created, created man in our image. Okay, let's start over. Said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of heaven, and over the cattle, and over creeping things that creeps upon the earth. Amen. So after God gave man, God blessed man. So in fact, the real focus is God's blessing on man. The reason God blessed man, because they're here, finally, on the earth, among all God's created beings, there's someone, something, in the image of God, and according to his likeness. And even such a one, God created them to be his representative. So they can rule, they can subdue, they can represent him. So we see this was a picture that God blessed, you know, his created beings and especially man. So we see such a blessing in the very beginning there. But because of the fall, man eventually was separated from God's blessing. Because the real blessing, in fact, is not in chapter 1, you know, to be multiplied, to be fruitful. The real blessing is in chapter 2. Because after God created man, God put man in front of the tree of life. The tree of life signifies God wanting to be life to man in the way eaten by man, received by man, been digested into man. So we see the sad story concerning man's fall. Okay, so created being failed God. Then in chapter 12, verse 1, let's read this verse, this four verses together. Now Jehovah said to Abraham, go from your land and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and he who curses you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. And Abraham went as Jehovah had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. Now Abraham was 75 years old when he went out of Haran. So this few verses shows us that God eventually blessed the called out race. You know, we are created by God. Of course, we came into existence through our parents. But because of the fall, man was separated from God. But now God called Abraham. And so Abraham started the called out race. So today, sitting here, we are not only created by God, we are also called out by God. And God's blessing in Genesis 12 came to the called out race. Okay, maybe we'll continue to read Genesis 22. 17 and 18. I will surely bless you and will greatly multiply your seed like the stars of heaven and like the sand which is on the seashore. And your seed shall possess the gates of his enemies. And you will see all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. So God's blessing to Abraham was very, very big. In fact, including the blessing of creation and the blessing of redemption and the blessing of God himself. Eventually we'll see that. So God blessed Abraham. In fact, not just Abraham, but blessed his descendants. And in Deuteronomy, there's such a record how God blessed the called out race, the children of Israel. Maybe let's read Deuteronomy chapter 28, a few verses there. And all these blessings will come upon you and overtake you if you listen to the voice of Jehovah your God. Blessed shall you be in the city. Blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of your womb, the fruit of your ground, and the fruit of your animals, the offspring of your cattle, and the young of your flock. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. Jehovah will cause your enemies who rise up against you to be struck down before you. On one row they will come out against you, but on seven rows they will flee before you. How would you like to be such a group of people? To be blessed by God? Any place you go in, you go out, you can stay in, you get blessed. In the city, you got blessed. In the field, you got blessed. Your fruits, all your descendants, they are blessed. The ground, the fruit of the ground will be blessed. All the blessings. I think today some of the Christians were still asking for these blessings. The blessing, even it will overtake you. I don't know what's your understanding. The blessing will overtake you. Even if you don't want it, the blessing will run after you, even overtake you, turn around. Here is the blessing. But, you know, we all know in the book of Ezekiel, it wasn't so. The children of Israel, because they didn't hear God's voice and didn't listen to his speaking, and they did not get this blessing. So this is the earthly blessing. The blessing to Abraham, eventually in the New Testament, we found out, similarly, you know, God promised Abraham, they will be blessed, even all the nations will be blessed. But that blessing, when it comes to the New Testament, the mystery is open, is unfolded that. In fact, that blessing God intended was something much higher than I think in Abraham's thoughts. That's explained in Galatians 3:16. Let's read 16 and 14 together. But to Abraham were the promises spoken, and to his seed. He does not say, and to the seed, as concerning many, but as concerning one, and to your seed, who is Christ, in order that the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. These two verses, of course, according to Genesis, God promised Abraham two things. One thing is Abraham will have a descendant, and he will have, you know, eventually we know all the 12 tribes, and today the whole nation of Israel, they are the descendants of Abraham, and it's fulfilled. God also promised the land to Abraham. But according, not only the land, but even the blessing were not just upon Abraham and his seed, but also all the nations will be blessed. But this blessing, both the seed and the land, according to the New Testament, in fact, we just read in Galatians, you know, because God said, if you are careful, he did not promise to him and to his seeds, but rather it was to your seed, who is Christ, because it's singular. So we know both the land and the seed, or the Abraham's descendant, in fact, both are Christ in its fulfillment. In the book of Matthew, in the very beginning, concerning the genealogy of Jesus Christ, he was the son of David and the son of Abraham. So, in fact, both the seed and the land refer to Christ. So Christ is the seed who will receive the promise. But Christ at the same time is the fulfillment. So he is both the seed and the land. But even the more, Christ eventually, after he came, became a man, he died and resurrected, eventually he became the Spirit. So what did God promise Abraham? According to, let's read 14 again. in order that the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So eventually, Christ is both the one, you know, he's the seed. God promised, you know, his seed will inherit the blessing. Christ is both the seed, will receive the blessing, and he is also the fulfillment of the seed and the land as the blessing. That's why the verse said that the promise, God promised to Abraham, might come to the Gentiles, that we might receive the blessing. What is the blessing? The blessing is the promise of the Spirit. So today, we are the ones receive the real blessing. Praise the Lord. I just feel that this morning, I'm standing here is very blessed. My father passed away much younger than me now, 20 more years younger than me. He passed away. So I can live, I consider whatever the years I live more than my dad, it's a blessing. This is a blessing of creation. God gave us the existence. Without God's creation, without his creation of man, none of us will be here. Of course, the blessing, I'm very thankful for my parents, because I'm here because they give me the birth. Otherwise, I won't be here. This is very crucial. This is in the principle of the New Testament incarnation, because God wants to bless man. The blessing of creation is through man. So today we all are here. We are blessed. If we don't have God's blessing of creation, we won't be here. You know, yesterday there was a wedding. I'm very happy for the brother and sister getting married, and we all bless them. Of course, we bless them, they will be fruitful too, right? Because they will be fruitful. The one came out of them, they received the blessing. You know, I heard some of the young ones, they say they don't want to get married. That means you will withhold your blessing. You won't give to others. But thank the Lord. God's blessing is be fruitful and multiply.
Amen.
So unless, you know, according to Paul, unless we have the special gift, you don't need to get married. Otherwise, please get married. God wants you to get married. God wants you to be fruitful. God wants us to be multiplied. Praise the Lord. So I just feel that the blessing of a creation is very precious, you know, because that gives us existence. Of course, all of us, I think standing here, I used to ask some of the saints, you know, after we believe in the law, of course, God gave us the blessing, not kind of like Old Testament blessing, physical, earthly, material, visible. But today, what God has, the blessing God has given us is something spiritual. It's something spiritual. That is in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Let's read that verse together. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavens, in Christ. Right, this verse is very clear that God has given us the blessing. So every one of us sitting here, we are not only receive God's blessing of creation, that God took care of our existence, you know. Of course, God, on one hand, he gave us the spiritual blessing, but it doesn't mean God doesn't bless us physically. In fact, all the brothers and sisters I used to ask, after you believe in the Lord Jesus, did the Lord wrong you in any way or shortchanged you? I didn't meet one saying the Lord shortchanged him or her. God has blessed us with all our physical needs. Because he promised, right? Seek you first the kingdom and his righteousness, and the rest he will give to us. Anybody that after you seek the Lord's kingdom, that the Lord didn't give you your need? The Lord gave us what we need, even above what we ask or think. That's my testimony. I think that's all our testimony. So today, we are enjoying what God has provided us physically, even meeting in this hall. It's the Lord's blessing. God has met our physical need, that we will not just enjoy the physical supply from the Lord, but rather we will go for something higher. That is the spiritual blessing. What are the spiritual blessings? The spiritual blessings are God has foreknown us. God has chosen us, right? We send a hymn. Before the foundation of the world. And God has predestinated us unto sonship. And God has given us the blessing of redemption. That even we became fallen, God has brought us back, shepherded us back. God has seek us and find us and saved us and brought us back. Even regenerated us. God has given us his life. God has given us his nature. God has given us his spirit. God is transforming us. And God is one spirit with us. Today, all these are God's blessing. Even God will transform us from glory to glory. Even one day, we will be like him. The same as he is. All these are spiritual blessings. So praise the Lord. Let's all say praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. What a blessing to be here. Amen. What a blessing we have been receiving and enjoying. Amen. Well, since this is not the biggest blessing, what is the biggest blessing? The biggest blessing is God himself. Amen. That's what we see in this message. There is the Old Testament blessing, physical, material, visible, and there's also the New Testament blessing. But there is a blessing which is not just Old Testament, New Testament. In fact, it's something unique. That is, even in the Old Testament, you mentioned that. Let's read Numbers chapter 6, verse 23 to 27. Speak to Aaron and to his son, saying, thus they shall be. Children of Israel, you shall say to them, Jehovah bless you and keep you. Jehovah make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And Jehovah lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So shall they put my name upon the children of Israel, that I myself may bless them. So these verses are not Old Testament blessings. Neither New Testament blessings. Is God himself as the blessing. So today, the real blessing, in fact, is just God himself. So we want daily, this blessing is God dispensed into us. God in Christ as the Spirit dispensed into us, and this is the highest blessing. Both in the Old Testament, we see this, and we also see the New Testament. Let's read 2 Corinthians 13, 14. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. These two portions of the verses are very clear. The blessing is the triune God, is God himself. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is the Son, and the love of God is the Father. And the fellowship of the Holy Spirit is the Spirit. So the triune God, the Father, the Son, the Father, and the Spirit, they are here. In Numbers, it's the same. In the Numbers, it mentioned that Jehovah bless you and keep you. This is the Father. And Jehovah, the next portion, Jehovah shine upon you and be gracious to you. This is the Son. And Jehovah, the last part, let's see Numbers 6, concerning the last phrase, that Jehovah lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. That is the Spirit. So today, the Lord, I think we all are encouraged to daily receive His dispensing. Amen. To gain the highest blessing. Amen. In fact, yesterday there was not only a wedding, there was also a gospel meeting. The gospel meeting, there were four got baptized. Amen. They received the blessing. What's the blessing? They received the triune God.
Amen.
So four got baptized. It was a young people gospel meeting. There was a NYU students got saved. And there was one sister brought her friend, and one brother brought two his friends. And four of them got baptized.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
They received the blessing. They received the blessing of the triune God.
Amen.
So we need to pray that many more will receive such a blessing.
Amen.
In fact, we can give such a blessing to one another.
Amen.
Because the triune God is in us. When we say something, when we prophesy, we are ministering the triune God to one another.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for such a blessing.
Amen.
It's with us, it's today.
Amen.
I'll stop here and Brother Ed will give us the glorious conclusion.
Praise the Lord. If you look at the verses, you will notice some are repeated. I guess our fellowship was not that complete. But I promise those verses that are repeated, I'll go fast. Amen? This morning, this part of the message is very simple, nothing complicated, nothing deep and heavy, but extremely practical. So at certain points, I may ask a question related to the verse concerning our experience. You may say, Brother Ed, now you're going to expose me. This is one of the things that I learned when I was a new believer. It's a blessing to be exposed.
Amen.
Did you hear that? I'll say it again. It's a blessing to be exposed. If you think you're okay, you're probably in darkness. I discovered when I was a new believer that it's a blessing of God to be exposed. It is not to condemn us. It is not so, not again, I can't make it. It's so that we realize, this is not okay, I need to focus on that. I need to pray about it. I need to seek the Lord about it. I need to seek His blessing.
Amen.
So I hope when I ask a question about a verse concerning your experience, you won't do, no. We learned from Song of Songs, the Shulamite, when she was looking at herself, there was a wall between her and her beloved. So we don't want to do that. So first of all, we're going to start with Psalm 133, a wonderful psalm. Let's read these verses together. Unity. Like fine oil, head ran down upon the beard, upon Aaron's beard, that ran down upon his garments, like the dew of Hermon that came down upon the mountains of Zion. For there Jehovah commanded the blessing, life forever. What a precious song. But we need to relate this song to God's blessing. This psalm reveals that the blessing of God is intrinsically related to the matter of oneness. In the Old Testament, there's a point that the people of God needed to be one. So the point is that it's a blessing to be one. In the church, it's not that we choose to be one. We must be one so that God blesses us and God blesses the church. This is crucial. This is a requirement for God to bless us. The matter of oneness. This is the greatest condition, I believe, concerning having or not having God's blessing. If we don't have God's blessing in the church in New York City, it is because we're lacking in the matter of oneness. So, what makes us one? What? Only the Lord can make us one. But we can do whatever it is so that we're not one. Let me give you an example. Oh, I love the saints. Oh, but this brother, you should see. You know, when he comes and prophesies, he talks nonsense. How can we have this in the church? Our opinion. You know, it's a good thing when we seek the blessing of the Lord, which is himself, to be humble. To consider others better than us. Why? What's the point? The point is the oneness. The oneness is really so crucial. We must have the oneness so that we are blessed and the church is blessed. So this is quite crucial. Then it goes in verse 1, we see the oneness, but in verse 2, we see the fine oil upon the head that ran down upon the beard, upon Aaron's beard, that ran down upon the hem of his garment. I won't go into the details of this, but this is the life-giving spirit, the compound spirit, the spirit that includes incarnation, human living, crucifixion, ascension and descension. Everything is in the spirit. How crucial this is. So we need to see the holy anointing oil is really the compound ointment in Exodus 30, 23 to 33. And how we need this. How can we have this? Whenever we're in spirit. Very simple. Because the Spirit of the Lord, the life-giving Spirit, is mingled with our spirit. So we don't have to think we have to go to heaven. Heaven comes down when we're in spirit. Can you imagine that? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
This is really so crucial. Don't be in the flesh. Oh, well, the flesh is something bad. Don't be in your soul. be in your spirit. Amen. So, to keep the oneness, we need to see Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3. Let's read that verse together. Being diligent to keep the oneness. So, here we see quite clearly the oneness of the Spirit. But the important thing, number one, be diligent. Number two, keep. We already have the Spirit. So we have the oneness. It's not so difficult. It's just when we're in spirit, we can be one. So we need to remember this. Let's change our concept that we need the Spirit rather than trying to be better, trying to improve ourselves. That is not something that works. We need to see that. Then we go back to Psalm 133, verse 3. Let's read it together. Like the dew of Hermon, come down. The dew of Hermon. Dew is something refreshing. In our life today, in our living, in our Christian living, this is the grace of God. It is so refreshing, so encouraging, so helpful. This is God's blessing. The anointing of the Spirit and the supply of grace enable us to be one. No problem. Then we come to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Let's read that together. Blessed be the God and Father of Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ. I won't dwell in this verse because Timothy already did, but I just want to emphasize again the blessing we have received is spiritual, and in the heavens, and in Christ. Not material, not physical, because we're not in the Old Testament, we are in the New Testament. Let's read verse 4.
He chose us in Him for the foundation of the world, to be holy and blameless before Him in love.
This is such an encouraging verse. I don't know if sometimes you feel down. If sometimes you really have depression, well, this verse is so encouraging. Before we were born, we were chosen by God. Imagine that. Of course, that is because God knows everything, and so He knew us before we were born. So He chose us. This, to me, is so encouraging, so stabilizing. No matter what happens, no matter the roof caves down, we are chosen. Chosen of God. Before the universe came around. So I don't know about you, but this is very encouraging to me. And he chose us to be holy. What does it mean to be holy? Of course, in the world, there's a particular, or maybe several meanings, but to be holy means to be like God. And to be holy means to not be common, to be different, to be distinct. If we as believers are the same as the world, what kind of a testimony is that, right? So we have been called to be holy. In his infinite foresight. Now, do we feel that we have been called before the world was created? This is such a stabilizing point. Whatever happens, we have been chosen of God. I don't remember the verse, but the Lord Jesus said, "We are in the Father's hand. What could happen to us?" Everything is arranged by the Father. So we need to see this. And of course, to be holy also means to be separated from everything else. To be one with God. Are we? Well, let's work at it, that we could be one with God. Starting would be to set our mind on our spirit rather than on our soul. Then we come to verse 5. Let's read verse 5. According to the good pleasure of his will. This is our predestination to be sons of God. Saints, we're sons of God. We are not American, Chinese, Spanish, you name it. We are sons of God. We have been predestinated. So we must live in this reality. Don't feel that we cannot make it. We have to make it. We are sons of God. The goal of God's predestination is sonship. Do we live as sons? Let's work at it. And then we come to verses 13 and 14. Let's read them together. In whom also have you heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation. In him also believing, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, to the pledge of our inheritance, and to the redemption of our Oh, this is a marvelous verse. It tells us that we have been sealed with the Holy Spirit, who is the pledge of our inheritance. We don't have time this morning, but if you get into the Word, you will discover that God is our inheritance. And we are God's inheritance. As God's inheritance, we are sealed with the Spirit. It's like you have a book, you put a seal with your name, it's yours. This is what the Lord has done. We belong to Him. But God is our inheritance. And for this, the wonderful thing is that we have the Spirit as a pledge, as a foretaste.
of this inheritance. So then let's go to Galatians, and we will go over this fast. Galatians 3:13.
As he leaned us under the curse of the law, having become a curse on us, it's written, cursed is everyone hanging on a tree.
So God took the curse so that we could have the blessing. And this we'll find in a minute. So this is so encouraging. But the goal is verse 14. In order that the blessing of Abraham might come, you know, do we appreciate the life-giving Spirit?
We need to. I won't say more because our brother already did. Then we come to Psalm 116, 13.
In the Bible, the cup is a symbol of our salvation, a symbol of blessing. And this is what we find here. I will take the cup of salvation. And one way to take the cup of salvation is to call on the name of the Lord. God is rich and full of salvation. He's the cup. He is our portion given to us for us to drink and partake of this salvation. So finally, we go to Matthew to have a little explanation of the cup. Matthew 26, 27. Let's read that verse.
Thanks.
In verse 27, the Lord Jesus gave thanks and gave it to the disciples. But in verse 28, it mentions that this cup is a symbol. It's a symbol of the Lord's blood shed at the cross, which was poured out for many for forgiveness of sins. So again, the Lord took the cup of curse so that we can have the cup of blessing. In this cup are all the blessings of God, and even God himself has our portion. How we need to enjoy the Lord's table in this way when we partake of the cup. That this cup is the cup of blessing. In Adam, our portion was the cup of curse, right? But in the Lord is not only a cup of blessing, but a cup that runs over, as we saw earlier in the Psalms. So the product of the vine within the cup of the Lord's table is also a symbol signifying the Lord's blood shed on the cross for our sins. But in verse 28, for this is my blood of the covenant. Some translations of the Bible insert the word new covenant. The Lord's blood having satisfied God's righteousness
enacted the new covenant. In this new covenant, God gives us forgiveness, life, salvation, and all spiritual, heavenly, and divine blessings. So when this blessing is given to us, it is a cup, a portion for us. So we need to really enjoy the cup at the Lord's table. Amen. This is a picture, a symbol of God's blessing. It's a cup of blessing. It's not just any old cup. May we appreciate more the Lord's table, which is a picture of God's blessings. And then in closing, let us say hymn 223, which is a picture of God's blessing in the cup in the Lord's table. Amen. And after the, and as we sing this hymn, we can go to the language meetings.